Okay, it's great to be here, guys. Thanks for bearing with us again. Another Sunday in the Fort Care Annex, and I think almost becoming home in itself. It's actually beautiful to be here and to spend time, you know, just even building new relationships. I think it's amazing how God uses all of this to our benefit. So thank you. Please bear with us as the kids. We really want to make sure that the moms with smaller kids feel at home. So if there's a noise at the back, please bear with us. Especially if you don't have kids, then it can be very irritating. I know how it is in a restaurant. If you don't have kids yourself, how difficult it can become to focus when the kids are making a noise. But yeah, we really want to embrace the kids. So please, guys, as soon as we get to the new menu, we'll make sure that everyone is, make provision for. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here this morning. Father, we see it as divine. We see, Father God, it's not by coincidence, but Father, you've drawn us to this place this morning, even in the cold. You've provided for us to be here this morning. Father, we don't see that as something lightly. We see it, Father God, as out of your throne room. And this morning, you have a desire to speak to us. Father, I pray that people will not listen to me this morning, but they will listen to your word. And that this morning, you will be able to really embrace the truth and that you set us free. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. Yes, guys, I'm looking forward to the Bible school next Saturday. So those of you that will be making it for the Bible school this year, be excited. It's going to be an amazing time. We are really putting a lot of effort in this year to make sure that you guys can do it online and not even having to come every week for classes, but you can do it in your spare time as well. So please join us. There's some pamphlets I need to ask you, even afterwards, to take some with you and just put it in some post boxes as you walk down the street in your neighborhood. I'll be walking this whole area, so don't feel too bad in doing 10 of them or so. Please, let's all make this an effort and allow people to receive the truth. Okay, I really believe the Bible school is one of those tools that just transformed lives. And we're going to use it this year as a tool to disciple people even beyond the church. Okay, people don't need to be part of this church to do the Bible school, so please invite people and say if they don't need to feel threatened to join the church, they can come and enjoy an amazing time of impartation. Great, I want to speak about us being fooled. This morning, if you can turn in the Word of God to Jonah chapter 1, and we're going to read probably the whole of Jonah. So if you have your Bibles with you, and then read with me in your Bible, and I want to encourage you to, on Sundays, really bring your Bible so that you can read it for yourself and see that I'm not lying. Okay. So let's start with Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city." It's like Great Britain, but not Britain great. There's a few reasons why, but probably because it's bigger than London. The great city, we'll talk about it just now, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Okay, we talk a lot about the presence of the Lord, and you know, especially when it gets to church circles, we want to, always it's almost a cliche, but you know, in the church, that we talk about God's presence as if it's so cheap. You know, there's a place that we get an encounter with God, and when God starts to speak to us, that is quite precious. That time when Moses would take off his sandals and he would connect with God. Now I want to say to you, God is wherever these people are. And this morning I want to talk about Jonah, because I believe that God is taking us to a similar journey, even individually. I started to speak about it last week. If you weren't there, please listen to the audio. But I'm continuing, and I want to make it more personal this morning. Because in Jonah's life, I see a few things now. I think the context, if we understand Jonah, is many times wrong, because Jonah did not just go to Morden and not to Wimbledon. Okay? This was quite a step of faith toward the wrong direction in his life. Because this was actually on the southwest coast of Spain. Okay, so if you understand where he was as a prophet in Israel, it's all the way in the Mediterranean Sea towards Spain, and I don't know if you had a... Sorry? yeah, even Sardinia, those who have a... the blessing of going on a second honeymoon. they would know where Sardinia is. And there's some that went to Croatia. Or where. Okay, so all along, guys, it was far. It's not just around the block. This man deliberately did something that was not so blessed. Okay? And you must remember, this man had quite a following. Jonah was not just an ordinary guy. He was a prophet in Israel. And if you were a prophet in Israel, being God's holy people, people listen to you. You have a following. It's like Twitter these days. You have quite a following. If you tweet... It's not really Twitter. No, Twitter. Tweet is probably no tweet. If you tweet something and people are following you, there's something going, okay? You're not just an ordinary guy. So this guy had a following, and one day he had an opportunity to be very obedient to God. And God said to him, listen, I've got this great assignment. I've got this assignment of a nation, not just Wimbledon, not just, you know, the church at Shofar. It's not just, you know, the immediate surrounding. This is a nation that needs me. And you know what? It's like God wanted to say to him, he's so interested in this nation. It's as if it is great just because God had a plan for this nation. God said, this nation is so great because I love the people in this nation. And if you don't take the word, my narrative with this nation is at stake. Now, I want to just say this morning, God is not dependent on us to do anything for his people. Are you with me this morning? God is not dependent on us to fulfill his promises. But what I can tell you, that blessing is ours. When we start to become obedient and follow in God's narrative in such a way that we can be God's redemptive agents in the times of the living. Now this is where Jonah was. Jonah was at a place where God just, it was not an ordinary assignment, it was a big one. And then he decided to take all of his pocket money. Okay, I can just imagine those days, you know, ships that was not as advanced as we have it these days. It would cost you quite a penny to go all the way from Israel to the west coast of Spain, and it's not just for a summer holiday. Okay? This is now to get away from God's plan for your life. The beauty of it is that God did not leave Jonah, and he's not leaving us alone. God had a plan, and so God called some witnesses on the boat to speak to Jonah. Jonah chapter 1 verse 4. But the Lord a great wind upon the sea. And some of us are experiencing winds, and we must sometimes go and ask God why. And there was a mighty tempest at sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. In the midst of calamity, in the midst of opposition, everyone runs to their belief. But there's one that knows it all. And they hold the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down, was fast asleep. Okay, you must remember, he's on his way to a holiday. What do you do when you go on a holiday? You sleep. Okay, that's a joke, guys. You are not very sharp this morning. So, everyone is panicking, and this man, Jonah, after being disobedient, still decides to lie in the boat and sleep. Perhaps the God... Oh, so the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give us, your God, will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Now, you know, it's strange that when we receive opposition in our lives, how we would run to God. And I had this interesting moment with a guy that the barber actually just around the corner. And this week, I went to the barber, and he was cutting my hair. And for me, it's still a faith stretch here in the UK, because every time I get to the barber, it's a different person that cuts my hair, okay? And they've got knives here. Okay, we don't have knives in South Africa, or what do you call it, blades, in which they clean some hair in your neck. Okay, so this guy had this knife in my neck, and we were having this conversation. And he said to me, "Oh, so you are now going to have a church in Wimbledon, YMCA. Why another church?" Now, I could hear the tension, because I can feel the blade against my neck. But this guy, I could hear, was very tense about it. And you know, I'm so used to questions like that. And I said to him, "Well, will there ever be enough churches? If I look at the state of this country, I believe that, you know, we can never have enough people serving God." So we had this long conversation about, and maybe I should just, for your sake, give you an answer on that. There's two reasons why we have a church. Well, not because Shofar has a footprint that goes into the global vision of, you know, the rest of the world, but because we have a mandate from God for this church. Are you with me? And because, secondly, there will never be enough people that can reach this London city. And I'm excited about what God is doing, because while I had this conversation, he said, "Yeah, you know what, but there's so many empty churches, you know, all around," and, you know, he was just naming all the churches here in this area, and he said, "You know, people only go to church when they are in trouble. Now, is it not so? There must be a crisis to go to church, and the churches are empty." It was such a good conversation to have, and I said to him, "Okay, but this is an old story. This is a story that sounds very similar to what happened 2,000 years ago. Because if I look at Jesus' ministry, and I could see that there's an attention given in the barbershop because more people are listening to this conversation. I said, this is a very old conversation, because when Jesus came, guess what? People came because they had boxes. They came because they were so desperate to receive something from our Lord. So I said to them, nothing has changed. People are still running to the church. And if the church does not exist for people to run to, we have a problem. Because people need to come to the church to receive God's presence. They need to receive. And this is what's happening to Jonah at the stage. Because Jonah is confronted by the Lord of the universe and having the answer for the people in this boat. And he becomes the solution. Listen to this. Jonah 1, verse 10 to 16. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hold me into the sea, and the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to the dry land, and they could not. For the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord that made vows. Okay. I'm not talking to you this time. You are holy people, and all of you know exactly why you are in the position of work that you are, and you know exactly what God wants for your life. So don't compare yourself with Jonah this morning. I know that you are holy people. You know what? The blessing is that a guy called David had opposition that came against him. David many times could not even account or, you know, even justify the things that happened in his life. But one thing he knew was to run to God, and he knew that when he ran to God, he was saved. And so in doing so, he would always turn back to the conviction of what God believes about him. And this is a place where Jonah is confronted now. A place where Jonah can run as fast as he wants, and he can do all life's purposes in his own ideas, until he's confronted with life and death at a place of frustration where God forces him to make certain choices. I want to say to you, many of us are not even confronted with life's difficulty and frustration because we got so used to not asking God to be on the right track. We are living such mediocre lives. And I want to say to you, I'm talking about myself. I'm asking myself the same question. We are so mediocre in God that we are not even opposition to the enemy. There's no reason that the enemy needs to come against us, because he'd rather just leave us to do our little job wherever we are planted, wherever, you know, we are doing life. Because he's safe and we are safe. Until you get to the desire to follow God's calling upon your life. Now, for this prophet called Jonah, God has bigger dreams. And, you know, this prophet many times in the past had the word of God being spoken through his mouth,
And God had a journey, a narrative that he had with Jonah, as he has a narrative, a story with your life that you won't even understand because it's much bigger than your life. But guess what? If you're doing what God wants, you're going to step right into the provision that God wants for your life. Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
Because this is what happened to Jonah. Listen to this. Jonah chapter 3. Oh, maybe we should go to chapter 1, verse 17 first. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and he loved the big fish. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Before we read Jonah 3, just quickly show that clip. Because I want to have you share that clip with us. You know, I just loved it when I saw it this weekend. Somebody sent it to me. You know what? These Christian videos, that people send all along, and then now some other times tend to get to you because it's going in circles. These are one of it, but the timing was
also around. The children of Israel out of Egypt, not just to wash them in the blood or dip them in the water, and not just to destroy Pharaoh. He brought their generation out to change the culture. It was supposed to be a 3 days journey. It took 40 years. It should have been a 3 days journey, but it took them 40 years. He let them go around and around and around the same mountain for 40 years. You're having the same argument with the same husband for the last 20-some years. You're going through the same pattern of the same stuff with the same child for the last 10 years. You've been put up with the same craziness on the same job for the last 25 years, and you tried to leave, and you tried to quit, but God let you just wander around the same mountain over and over again, and you thought victory was changing the mountain, but victory is the mountain is changing you. God isn't trying to change your mountain. He is using your mountain. God couldn't wait to get this word to you because you keep getting anointed and asking God to change the mountain, and it ain't working. And you can't figure out why it's not working. And some of you are about to lose your faith because you've done all you can do to change the mountain. But the mountain is changing you.
Maybe a word for somebody this morning. God is not thinking of all the mountains. The mountain is designed for you. For a time such as this. And this is Jonah's life. The fact that Jonah would come to a time when he was confronted by God. And, you know, if you read Jonah 2, and I want to encourage you, don't do it at home. Don't read Jonah 2 and just hear the man's cries to God. His devastation. Jonah 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah rose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. It was a great city, big city. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. And he called out, "Dead 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published in Nineveh, "By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, bird nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed and drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call up to mighty God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger, so that we may not perish." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. How can I just give you a little bit of extra information? There's in the history books of the nation that was then many accounts of a prophet that was half man and half fish, that would come to their nation to come and bring judgment over the nation. By the time Jonah came to this nation, there was already a narrative, a story in this nation's history of a man that would come. By the time Jonah came into the city, they immediately recognized the word of repentance brought to their nation. They fell on their knees, and they realized that this God is not fooling around, because it's such an old story already in the nation. The beauty of it is, if you look at it from Jonah's side, Jonah was such a fool in many ways, and we are fools in many ways. But yet God made provision to reach this nation even before Jonah would arrive. Because God has a plan a lot bigger than our lives. Listen to Jonah 4. But it is this displeased Jonah. And this, many of us are the same. We so like to take the glory for ourselves when God do work through our lives. Displeased Jonah exceedingly. Why would it displease him? Was it not supposed to go to the nations so that they would think? Now that they are repenting, he's displeased. And he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? This that is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew," listen how he justifies himself, "for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting on disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Because it's his reputation at stake. Because if God is not going to judge the people after 40 days, who's going to look bad? Okay. Ooh, are you with me? "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, Do you do well to be angry?" Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade that he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah. God's grace. God's grace is so much upon our lives. You don't even know it. That it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came on the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that man to die and said, hey, just see if there's somebody who needs to come in. Let's just all look at it. Not there. He's my brother. Listen to this. Thanks, Eric. It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plan? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry and angry enough to die. The Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in night and perished in the night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the right hand from the left, and also much cattle? Now, I want to just say to you guys, in the midst of God speaking to Jonah, Jonah performs this task after God led him, you know, to come back to Nineveh. And yet in the midst of this, God is not just expecting this man called Jonah to receive the assignment, but the way in which he does it, in the heart for what God has in store for him, was so important. I want to say to you this morning, wherever your workplace, whatever function you are fulfilling in society, whatever God is busy doing, in and through your life, if you are not going to bow down and receive a heart for the people of God around you, the people that God wants to you to reach, you are laboring in vain. Because it's only when we start to come to a place of an influx of heart with God, God loving His people and portraying that toward His people, that God can start to operate in your life. This man called Jonah was such an amazing prophet. And yet, in the midst of all of this, God is challenging him and saying, Jonah, this is not just my job, this is portraying my heart to the nation. You know that I've got a journey much longer than your lifespan in this nation. You know that more beautiful things are going to happen in this nation even after you. Not because of you, but despite of you. We don't know the narrative that's playing around our lives and in society that we are busy serving. God has planned. And He's in perfect control. I don't know why we're not in the venue that this should be. I'm just so blessed to know that this is the mountain that God has planted. At a time such as this, that before we don't see the mountain for what it is, I love, you know, just at encounter yesterday, listening again to Pastor Craig and just the exams of life. The fact that you and I, before we can go to the next level, first need to write an exam. That when it gets to school, you can't go to the next level, to the next year, if you don't write an exam first. To give an account of that which you have received. Okay? Only, are you still with me? Okay, just give me an indication. I just want to this morning reach all of your hearts. You can only go to the next level if you pass the examination. The problem is that the examination many times throw us so much that we never get to the next level. We are wandering around in this wilderness, around the mountain, and all that I want to tell you, if you wander along the mountain long enough, it's going to kill you. It's amazing, but there's a season for it. And so, the beauty of it is for Israel to come to an understanding of why God is putting the mountain there. Why are we wandering 40 years, you know, in the wilderness? Because God wants to speak to us. He has a desire to commune with us. And I want to say to you, God's greatest gift to Jonah was the fact that Jonah, I have a message that is not just impacting you but other people, but I want you to change in your heart. There's something, Jonah, that's happening within your heart that I'm so glad is happening now, because if you become this great prophet, guess what? If this is your heart, then I don't want to use you again. Jonah, rather come back to your dorm room. Can we just talk about this? Jonah, can you just talk about the fact that you are so selfish and that every time that, you know, the test, the examination comes, and you are throwing out the toys out of the cart? It's as if I'm this cash machine and I must always just provide whenever you are asking. I want to say to you, God, I love God for being committed to us. Because in the midst of all of this, God gives Jonah the benefit of the doubt, because God wants to bless Jonah. There's no other God that is so merciful. We've got a Father that brings dreams on our behalf. A Father that has a desire to use us, not because we have anything to offer. I remember, and I also remember, I told you this story, but I'm going to tell it again for those who haven't heard. I was staying in a bank in South Africa when I was about, along, you must help me, 22 years old, just out of varsity, and I was staying in the bank, and I remember working in the headquarters, actually, of the credit department of this bank, and I looked out of the window to Table Mountain in Cape Town, and I would not forget that moment, and I was busy speaking to God. I was complaining about my workplace and about so many things that's wrong, and you know, how life is not happening for me, and God, I don't want to be in this godless place. You know, there's so many people that are drunk every day. God said to me, you know what? I will never take you to the next level if you are not content and receive the love from the people that are surrounding you. Get your attitude in place. Because I want to use you in this place, but because you are so focused on yourself and your own calling and your own ideas, I cannot use you. And I want to say to you this morning, get to God's agenda. Know that if you are Jonah, dying to self, what must first happen before you can go to a nation. God loves so much, and even the rumors going around that a fishman would come from the coast to come and speak about the redemption of a nation. So that when Jonah arrived, when you and I arrive in the places that we are in, there's already provision. Not because we are so amazing. And I want to say it this morning, because God has convicted me the last few weeks so much about it. He said, I want the glory. I want the glory. Don't take my glory. And let us remind one another so often that we can be so fascinated about our own contribution and what we have to offer for the kingdom, and yet it's got nothing to do with God's narrative for this nation, with this neighborhood, with this church. I just love the ways of God. You know what? Because it's my privilege. It's such a blessing to be there this morning and to know that each one of us are here by divine call from God. And this is Jonah's life. Jonah can run away, but God is bringing and controlling him back to a place where he can actually come to his redemptive place. Well, I just want to quickly read this scripture, Matthew 20, verse 1 to 16. Long scripture, so if every Bible is quickly turned in. For the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a house who went up early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for 8 denarii a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing in the marketplace. And to them he said, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you. So they went, going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour. Now, just for those who don't know, the third hour is always from 6 o'clock, 3 hours onwards. Which means that it's 9 o'clock. Okay, the sixth hour means 6 hours after 6, which means it's 12 o'clock. If it's 12 o'clock, if it's 13 hours, then it's 3 o'clock. Are you with me? Okay. So, if you count this, the last people quickly follow with me now. And about the 11th hour, count it up, plus 6. Okay, so it's 1700 hours. This is 5 o'clock. There's not a lot of work being done after 5. Do you agree with me?
Yeah.
He went out and found others standing, and he said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you go into the vineyard too. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. Beginning with the last up to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received the denarius. On receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last work only 1 hour. These last work only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you have begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first and the first last. Now, the beauty of it is, we as laborers, as Jonas, in God's field, you know, I think it is, you know, seeing how God would use certain seasons, some would take in and bring in the harvest, and some would, you know, do the hard grinding work. And some would always do the grind work. And sometimes just walk into receiving the harvest. The beauty of it is that God is not concerned. Our responsibility is to be obedient. We come to a place, and I still believe that when we look at Mary and Martha's life, that Martha, being in the kitchen, Martha, you know, being in the kitchen, the problem that Jesus had with Martha was not the fact that Martha was not at his feet. The problem was that Martha had a problem with Mary being at Jesus' feet.
Mm-hmm.
Because while Martha is in the kitchen doing noble things, Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus and she's getting all the glory of the moment and what's happening. And within Martha's heart, something is exposed that Jesus wanted to address. Martha, just do what I have called you to do. Nothing more, nothing less. Can we just have a conversation about Mary sitting at my feet because she knows that that is what I do. What am I expecting her to do at such a time before I go to my burial? You're not supposed to compete with that. You're not supposed to be difficult about this one. Because Mary is at my feet, because he's aligned to my purposes for time such as this. Let's just put this down. Now, Jonah's biggest problem. Can I just put the worship to him real quickly? You know, when I read Jonah's life, then I often am reminded about the fact that you and I need to get up to God's face. My question to you this morning is very simple. You need to pray for one another. Nothing to leave this place without praying for one another, because that's what you pray. Is to have the presence of God in your life. My question to you is simple. Where you are situated, and be content in what God is doing for you. Because people will criticize you, they will have a lot to say about Jonah's journey, their opinion. And I found out that this nation is very opinionated. People have a lot to say about everything in this nation. What I can tell you this morning is, if you are going to be listening to people all along and follow their dreams for your life, guess what? You will have to hope for a fish very soon. Because you're going to go on journeys that God has not called you to. But as long as you put yourself in the middle of God's plan for your life, and you know where you are, is that close, you're safe. You're not called to receive a salary. I'm excited because God's vision will always follow His vision, which means that when you step out of faith, it's strange how people would always try to, like Jonah, justify doing the wrong thing. I don't want to change jobs because it's too difficult. I don't want to move continents because it's too difficult. I just can't do it because of my family. There's all kinds of reasons that you'll always choose not to do the will of God. I want to be at the place where it's not the frustration that drives me to ministry. God's voice. God's intimate relationship with me that leads me to a heart for the nation. This morning, my second question would be, are your heart breaking over the things that breaks God's heart? Are you at the right place at the right time? And secondly, at a place you have such a heart for that vision that God is giving you, that people can catch the passion in your heart, because you are serving them wholeheartedly, because they know the burden that God has given you. Now, there's two responses to that this morning. If you're David, and you know that you're in the will of God, that you're messing around and you're doing the wrong things. If you're Jonah, and you are messing around, and you are at the wrong place at the wrong time, the answer is to repent as quickly as possible and to turn to what God wants you to do. If you are at the right place where God wants you to be at this time, and I want to say that to you, receive the burden of the Lord. in a place where your hand of God. Because things are going to start with God. And you will see the heart of Christ. For the people that is around you. Father, I come to you this morning. Father God, and I pray that you will use the mountains in our lives. Father, that you will wander around in the wilderness as long as it takes, Father God, for us to, Father, to pass the exam. Because, Father, we cannot go without you. And, Father, we know that you will not go beyond if we don't catch the vision. And, Father, this morning we ask you to come and do something in our hearts in our immediate circumstances. Come and do something, Father God, in our hearts concerning this nation. And do, Father God, something in our heart to carry the burden of this nation that you have. Father God, the kind of burden that will make us to pray more, that will make us, Father God, even serve more and to fulfill your purpose more. And Father, I pray that you will align our lives not to our own selfish desires, but Father, to your promises. And may the people around us admit that the Lord of Jonah is an all-powerful God. In the name of Jesus. Just come and I'm not going to call you to the front. I want you to pray with the person that's here. I want to trust that you guys can even come and help to pray. I want to trust that we will make good so people that will be able to pray together this morning. Two or three people. And that we will just have an honest discussion about who you are after God. Is that all right? Are you with me this morning? No condemnation. But what I want you to receive this morning. The burden of the Lord. It is well and easy. The beauty of it is when you come under this yoke, it becomes a celebration. Because every momentous moment in your life becomes something that you can do. And so David said this morning, you can become thankful for it because you can see that current. If we stop thanking God, it means that we don't know the place in our life. We don't see the end of God in our lives and we need to face it. So let's quickly set this up. You guys can come pray with your friends and grandma, you can come and pray. Let's spend a few of your minutes praying for God to come and bring us out of our foolishness to a place that we can do this as a prayer. Are you alright?
You can sit on your chair. just can't be there. I'm so desperate for it. With you, in the place that you know, I'll be here before the Father comes. I know that you've sent me to this nation for a long time. I can feel that experience of such a lot of things that you are busy doing. Father God, I want to thank you for that as well. I thank you that because of obedience, Father, you can have me in and through our life. I pray that I will never take this glory, Father, that I will see it for what it means, that you have a divine plan. Father, it's such a privilege to be a part of that. It's such a privilege, Father God, to step into your plan at a time such as this. I will give my heart this morning. Give it my heart, Father, just to say that the glory to the Lord. Father, we thank you, Father God, not to give him glory as a church. Father, we don't care that the shofar's name and the people coming, but Father God, let this nation get to hear your voice. Let this nation, Father God, experience your glory. I pray, Father, that you can take all your glory. I pray that you will lead us to the place, Father God. We are just so fortunate to be part of your glory. In the name of Jesus, let us be in step walks with Jesus in the Holy Spirit.
God, I have so many thanks for just what you've been doing in my life and in the last 12 months. The destructive places you brought me from. Situations were intended to damage and to lead me away from your purposes, but finally you turned that around. But as I repented and became faithful, but I declare that I desire to go to the next level. To see the opportunities in my life through the eyes of Christ. Those people in my workplace who I have an opportunity to be a witness to God. So I want to see your work be done. Not to end all, but to continue in the things of God and just really to move into the world of purpose and effective outpouring of the gospel, just to allow you to be glorified in my life. Just seek your clear instruction in that as well. You desire for me to be where I am now and wherever you're leading me to. Just lay down my life, my desire to really just be holy. Just surrender to whatever it takes to get to that place in the very strength of you. Father, thank you that you've been faithful with us. So far, for the journey that you've taken us on now. But I thank you that as we find ourselves almost just shy of the promised land, Lord, in trying to reach our new home, but I thank you that we are not lost in the wilderness wandering around, but we're on the path. Father, while we're here, Lord, I thank you that we're receiving them. I thank you that they'll be here this morning. Just strengthen in our hearts and in our minds. Well, thank you, Lord, that even as we're here, you're drawing people to us, Lord, to enter into our home. Being in this place, you know, it's like
thanks for letting me know, team. Thanks for letting me. You guys are.